Tassif. Thank you. Good morning. My name is George Tassif. I'm with the Office of the Federal Public Defender in Peoria, Illinois, representing the defendant appellant, Martinez Horn. In all candor to the court, I respectfully submit that much of our Fourth Amendment claims advanced on appeal is now foreclosed by this court's en banc ruling in U.S. versus Childs. Childs was issued by the full court on January 18th after briefs had already been submitted by both parties to this case. Our office represents Petitioner Childs. Our cert petition is due on or before April 18th. We advance our Fourth Amendment claims and rest upon those claims made on the briefs this morning for purposes of preserving the Childs question. But I want to spend most of my allotted time the sentencing question, the fourth issue raised in appeal. Mr. Childs received a sentence of 292 months of imprisonment. Mr. Horn received a sentence of 292 months of imprisonment based substantially upon a post-arrest statement where the arresting officer asked if he could help himself in some way, could Mr. Horn advise what he'd been up to. Horn proceeds to give this good day, bad day scenario as to the amount of crack cocaine he had been dealing on a daily basis for the past 11 months. At the time of the sentencing, the probation officer took out the calculator, tallied up the half-ounce amounts for the 324 days, and came to a conclusion of 4.6 kilograms of accountability under the relevant conduct rules, where Mr. Horn had been charged and convicted of possessing with intent to distribute 10 grams of crack, 25 grams of heroin. Clearly what we had here in the district court realized was that you had an addict user who was selling one substance to support the addiction of another. We made two objections, or at least two proper bases for a motion for downward departure, both relying upon Second Circuit authority, U.S. versus White, U.S. versus Janeiro. And in this case, I respectfully submit that this very experienced district court judge used this occasion to express frustration that he has expressed in a number of other cases, and those we've even argued before this court, about what he believes is disparity in the guidelines and in the various circuits. Now, the point that I'm making on appeal today in respect to Martinez Horn in claim number four of our brief is that the court's denial of our motion for downward departure, we respectfully submit, is based upon the court's erroneous belief that it could not depart. Because to do so, in the court's words, would be an illegal sentence, a reinvention of the law, ignoring the law. I mean, so there's very graphic terms here about the Second Circuit and this district court's opinion going off the map and engaging in a sentencing process that if the court believed that was the way to interpret the guidelines, the court ought to step off the bench and run for Congress. And Judge Mim used this case as an occasion to condemn the Second Circuit's opinion, especially in Janeiro. And the problem with that is this. Janeiro, I respectfully submit, was swept away by the court's condemnation of Second Circuit authority in the sense that Janeiro stands for the proposition the defendant's culpability is overstated by the application of relevant guideline principles when one considers relevant conduct over a substantial period of time.
Could I just ask for a second? We need to get to first base before we can get beyond this. And I take it that the first step of your argument has to be that Judge Mim offered a legal interpretation of the guidelines, which, in his view, precluded him from thinking about these kinds of adjustments. He's basically interpreting them to say these considerations were already taken into account with the structure of the guidelines, with the relevant conduct provisions, and so on. So we're entitled to review. We at least have jurisdiction to review a district court's legal interpretation of the guidelines. If at step two we thought that Judge Mim was correct, that would be the end of it. We don't have discretion to pick a spot that the district court should have chosen. But I take it you're now saying that in fact the district court overlooked his authority to depart downward if he thought the relevant conduct overstated culpability or something like that. Is that right?
Yes, indeed. We adopt the Janelle case, as I do in the brief, and urge the court to consider that as essentially our brief on this issue. There, Judge Martin made some very stark findings about the application of the relevant conduct guidelines. And we have no quarrel with the fact that 1B1.3 allows the court to consider relevant conduct.
Well, it compels the court to consider.
What issue is it, what fact in this case is it that you think the Sentencing Commission did not give any attention to?
Time.
As a statutory matter, that's the criterion for departure.
Well, you have a low-level street
distributor. What is the circumstance?
A low-level street distributor selling a relatively small amount over a substantial period of time.
I can't see how that was not considered. That's just the definition of the relevant conduct rule. The relevant conduct rule says count up everything in the same course of conduct. And to the extent you're saying, no, only count up something within 6 months. Don't count up something for the whole course of conduct going back 5 years over the whole statute of limitations. You know, I would be inclined to agree with Judge Mim. That's not something the Sentencing Commission failed to consider. That's just disagreement with the guidelines.
But as Judge Martin did in Janelle, he quoted portions of the hearings before Congress, Sentencing Commission hearings, where the kingpins, the level 38 type distributors, are the ones driving the flashy cars, rolling in the money, controlling criminal organizations, being the drug kingpins. And here, Martinez Horn, the user addict, is right there on the same footing as a multi-kilo distributor.
What this has to do with the question whether there is a lawful ground of departure. And this kind of sounds like the argument that we heard in the Martin case that said, gee, the LSD kingpins will sell really pure LSD, and the guys far down on the chain will sell dilute LSD, and they'll get a sentence higher than that of kingpins, and so something must be wrong. Except that the Supreme Court of the United States said, no, that's not a ground for giving a lower sentence. This is just another version of it.
Well, I would hope it's a much different version. I understand.
The LSD version failed twice in the Supreme Court, both in Martin and in Neal.
The Janeo, affirmed by the Second Circuit, focused on the role of the individual within a criminal organization and how the guideline...
The guidelines consider that. They allow a reduction of up to 4 levels for being a really low-level, do-nothing.
We were charged individually in this case. There were no other individuals against whom we could measure our conduct and seek that 4-level. And again, the 4-level departure, as Your Honor knows, is very rare.
Look, I'm not asking whether the guidelines did this the best way but the argument you're now making, which is that being a low-level guy in a criminal organization is something that the guidelines, the Sentencing Commission didn't consider, is just false. They considered it. They provided what to do. And you may not think that 4 levels is enough, or you may think that there's something wrong with the way in which that works, but it's not something that's escaped their attention.
Well, Judge Martin in the U.S. District Court, Southern District of New York, and the Second Circuit respectfully disagree, and I urge the court to adopt the reasoning of that court in remanding this for resentencing. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Tessis. Mr. Allegro.
May it please the court. The Kuhn case, which authorizes district court to make departures under certain circumstances, directs that district court should consider whether there is a factor not adequately taken into consideration
by
the
Kuhn case says. It's what the statute says.
Correct.
It's right there in the U.S. Code.
Correct. And in this case, Judge Mim looked at this relevant conduct engaged in by Martinez Horn. Mr. Tassif indicates it did take place over a lengthy period of time from about January. He admitted selling drugs from about January up to the date of his arrest in November, so about a 10 or 11 month period. But he was doing what the judge was doing what he had to do under the guidelines. He was taking that conduct into account. There was no question that this conduct was relevant conduct as defined in the guidelines. There wasn't a break in the conduct. Mr. Horn said he was doing this all along.
Is there any circuit other than the Second that has permitted a departure on this ground?
I am not aware of any other circuit other than the Second that has allowed such a departure, Your Honor. I know that there's the line of cases starting.
Well, there could have been these departures ordered in other cases and not appealed by the government.
Of course, Your Honor.
Now, these are very, very long sentences, I think. That's Judge Mims' frustration here with this sentence. I mean, the next case we have a sentence of over 1,000 months. I mean, that's just terribly frustrating. But what can you do?
That's exactly the point, Judge. What can you do? I think Judge Mims is trying to follow the law, and he's saying that if all the judges follow the law, then Congress may be compelled, if this is inherently unfair, to change it. But as long as he's wearing his robes, he has to follow the law.
And certainly eliminates the idea of marginal deterrence, doesn't it? once you've sold this amount, you might as well be a kingpin. You might as well be anything. Same penalty for everybody.
I don't quite agree with that, Judge. I think
it's pretty close.
Pretty close to what's provided here.
Mr. Horn. Maybe in the sense that the levels that you top out at level 38 aren't that high.
Well, that's my point exactly. If you're if you are, you know, the person in Colombia or wherever you're from who is supplying 2/3 of the United States, you wind up with the same sentence that this guy did.
Right. And I assume that's a judgment that the Sentencing Commission made that
if you're the guy in Colombia, you probably get a lower sentence because you have more information that you can sell back to the prosecutor for a discount.
And you won't be the only one charged.
That may be correct, Judge. But I think that's a judgment the Sentencing Commission made that the people who are selling these drugs on a daily basis on the streets need to be either warehoused or they need to be deterred. And
They thought we should spend our public dollars building prisons instead of schools or other things. Obviously legislative choices, but pretty tough.
They are very severe, Your Honor. And Mr. Tassif and I have talked about this in the many cases we litigate against each other. And we're all cogs in the system, I guess. Mr. Tassif, myself, and Judge Mim. And I think Judge Mim made the right decision in this case, not to disregard the guidelines. It would be like saying that the judge erroneously failed to depart because he refused to ignore evidence that the defendant was a leader or organizer, or the defendant had a gun in connection with the crime. And it's a sentencing factor that the Sentencing Commission has specifically addressed. They've said, judges, if this happens, do this. And Judge Mim did it. If other judges are not doing it, as Judge Mim indicated in his statement on sentencing, that's something that Congress has to take up. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Anything further, Mr. Tassif? Well, thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement.